The Bible reading this morning is taken from Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. Galatians 5, verse 13, on page 1172 in the Pew Bibles. Life by the Spirit. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
I'm a little disappointed, Helen. I was expecting you to sing the fruits of the Spirit when we got to that bit. Yeah. Maybe next time. In case the message hasn't quite got across, we are doing this new series together on the fruit of the Spirit. And the hope is that over the next few months, we'll be able to reflect together of the impact that the Holy Spirit has on the sort of people we are and the sort of people we are becoming. We'll think about what love and joy and peace and all the rest might actually look like in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. And I hope that what we'll do is build a picture of what the kingdom of God looks like. Because the kingdom of God is a place where the people of God are powered by the Spirit of God, where we live lives that glorify God, gods that are full of fruit and in step with the Spirit. And this morning we're going to take a bit of an overview. We'll be asking ourselves what role the Spirit has in shaping our character and how we avoid the desires of the flesh, what part we have to play in our transformation as we live and grow as God's people. We're thinking about the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to start by thinking about the Spirit, and then we're going to think a bit about fruit, and hopefully the two will come together as we go through. Because today is the day in the Christian calendar when we celebrate Pentecost. You may know the story of Pentecost. After Jesus rose from the dead, one of the things he told his closest followers was that when he left, they had a job to do. They were to go and tell the world the good news that Jesus Christ had lived and died and rose again for the sake of the world, so that all could be forgiven and reconciled with God and have life to its fullest forever. But before they went out and told everyone, Jesus commanded them to wait. to wait for the coming of God the Holy Spirit. And Pentecost is that day when it happened and when we mark the coming of the Spirit. When the disciples were gathered together and a wind blew and tongues of fire came and they were filled with the Spirit and they went out into the city to tell everyone about Jesus. And thousands chose to follow him for themselves that day. Pentecost now for us is the day when we particularly remember the gift of God the Holy Spirit is for all of those who belong to Jesus. It is for you and I also. The Nicene Creed, one of the oldest declarations of the Christian faith, says, "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets." This is our God, Father, Son, and Spirit. I think sometimes as Christians, maybe more in our tradition of church than others, we struggle to pin down the Holy Spirit a little. We talk much more about the Father and the Son because it is easier for us to see and understand their roles, particularly in Scripture. And some other churches make a much bigger deal of the Spirit's work than we do. And if we're honest, some of us maybe look to those churches with a little bit of skepticism, a little bit of uncomfortableness, I guess. I imagine most of us are happy with the idea of the Holy Spirit, as long as the Spirit doesn't make us do anything that's too far out of our comfort zones. Don't want to get too wacky, do we? I was about to ask if I could get an amen, but maybe that's a bit too much on that too. I spent a bit of time this week thinking about some of the names and titles of the Holy Spirit that are used in the Bible. These are some of them. I wonder you might be able to think of some others too. Some of these names and titles maybe help us to understand a bit more about the work of the Spirit. And the Bible does tell us all sorts of ways in which the Spirit is at work. We know that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters in creation. We know that God breathed his Spirit into humanity to give us life. Maybe most importantly for us, we know that Jesus called the Spirit a helper or advocate or comforter. The word's a little hard to translate, but it encompasses all of those things. We know that when Jesus ascended into heaven, his promise was that the Holy Spirit would take his place. The Holy Spirit is God present with his people. The shorthand I often use for the work of the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit empowers and enables and equips the people of God. But it is more than that. The Spirit gives us life. It connects us to God. It sets us free to do the things we might not otherwise do. The Spirit is the work of God transforming our hearts and minds. The Spirit is a gift of God and God himself given to every believer that we might have life in all its fullness. Connection with God, Father, Son, and Spirit, and the ability to live as he calls us to live. And we could talk about the nature of the Holy Spirit all morning, but I do need to introduce our new series on the fruit of the Spirit, and I know you'd all be really disappointed if we didn't spend some time thinking about all of that list of the works of the flesh too, as we go through. So we will do those things. The Spirit transforms the lives of those who have been adopted into the family of God, and as he does so, the Spirit is at work producing good fruit. Jesus loved this metaphor of fruit and vines. Actually, Jesus loved all sorts of metaphors about growing things generally. And Paul picks up on the same thing in a few of his letters. And I think the idea is fairly simple, that the well-lived Christian life will be one which results in good fruit. And here in Galatians, we're told that what good fruit looks like. A well-lived Christian life will be loving and joyful, peacemaking and patient, kind and good and faithful, gentle and self-controlled. And both Jesus and Paul agree that in order for a person to bear this type of fruit, their lives need to be rooted in a relationship with God. Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." Paul tells us to walk by the Spirit. But here's the thing. Listen carefully. You are not going to become more loving by just trying to be more loving. You don't gain self-control by sitting down and thinking really carefully about being self-controlled. In fact, that will probably have the opposite impact that you're hoping it would have. It's like not thinking of a pink elephant. The fruit doesn't grow because we want it to or because we try hard to make it grow. In fact, Jesus warns about this on the Sermon on the Mount, that we can try and do the right things, but for the wrong reasons. That we might try hard to do what is good and right, to be the right sort of people. But in the end, if all we do is try, we will fail. And that feels a bit bleak. And I don't know about you, but some days I can read this list of the fruit of the Spirit. I read love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And all I feel is inadequate. Like it's impossible, like I'm never going to get there. And as I've said, no amount of trying to be better will work. It doesn't seem to work. The way to grow the fruit of the Spirit is not to try and be fruitful. It is instead to focus on walking in step with the Spirit. To not focus on ourselves, our attitudes, our behaviours, but to focus on God and our relationship with Him. To make sure that we are well connected to the vine. Because fundamentally, the fruit of the Spirit is not about us. It is about our relationships with others. And this is highlighted even more clearly if you look first at Paul's list of acts of the flesh, the sinful behaviours there in Galatians 5 that are contrary to the Spirit. If you want a fun little exercise, you can get a little pen out and you can tick which ones are the works of the flesh you do and which ones are the works of the Spirit you do. And maybe if you do more of the Spirit than the flesh, you come out. I'm not sure that's how it works either. All of these sins that are listed are ways in which our selfishness works its way out into the way we might choose to live, right? So this list of works of the flesh, it starts with broken sexuality. Sex, which is designed to be intimate, mutual, and self-giving, instead used for self-gratification. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. Making my sex life just about me. Idolatry and witchcraft are ways in which I might seek to gain power over the spiritual realm, to have my will done rather than live in obedience to God's. It is exact opposite to your kingdom come, your will be done. Hatred, jealousy, discord, rage, selfishness, dissension, and envy are manifestations of a breakdown in relationships caused by the way in which I prioritize myself over other people. And then for the end of the list, we can come back to self-indulgence, drunkenness, and orgies. Part of the problem is no one teaches us to be selfish. That the deeds of the flesh seem to just be what people do. And they're all about the same sort of sin, right, that Adam and Eve committed in the garden. The same sort of sin that has always been a problem for humanity. We see what we think looks good and we take it. Eve saw that the fruit was good for eating and she took it and ate. We take for ourselves no matter the cost to others, no matter what God has asked of us. Our main drive is self-satisfaction. Is selfish. Life by the Spirit, right, is the opposite to this, to live for God rather than ourselves. And I truly believe that this loving, self-giving way of life is fundamentally a better way to live. It's not an easier one, but I think we find more contentment and happiness in this self-giving way of living than we do in that selfish way. And remember, Paul is writing to Christians. He's writing to the church. It is a letter for those who have already given their life to Jesus. And even once we belong to Christ, we have this choice to make. Now that we belong to him, are we going to live in step with the corruption of the world, or will we live in step with the Spirit who seeks to transform us into new life? The message here is clear. There is no place in the kingdom of God for the kind of behaviours listed in verses 19 to 21. Any society where everyone behaves the way these verses describe will be unhappy and, in fact, dangerous. A world where everyone only looks to gratify their own needs and desires. A world where each person treats others only as things to be used. It's not the sort of world that I want to live in. And it's not the sort of world that God designed this to be. On the contrary, the kingdom of God is designed to be a place of loving harmony, a place where we work with one another and for each other. We build community and we are built up by it. On a fundamental level, people who walk in step with the Spirit and see the fruit of the Spirit in their lives are becoming more like the sort of people God designed us to be. The Holy Spirit is at work rehumanizing us, because this is what a true human looks like. People in loving harmony with one another. And so we're presented with these two alternatives. And maybe you sit here and it seems obvious which of the two is best. Certainly Paul made it obvious which he thought was best. The works of the flesh may bring some gratification in the short term, but the fruit of the Spirit is the way of life. The question really is not which of these is best. It is how we obtain the fruit of the Spirit. Because frankly, it's confusing. I've already said that trying to be more patient or kind isn't going to work. Paul also seems to suggest that all of this fruit is just the work of the Holy Spirit in us rather than a product of our own effort. And so that sort of makes me think, well, maybe we can all just sit down and if we wait patiently enough, we'll certainly get patience and maybe the other fruit will just arrive. That doesn't seem to work either. Clearly, there is some effort for us still to make. We are commanded, Paul does say, we have to keep in step with the Spirit. Elsewhere, as we know, he says we have to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, and that seems like quite a lot of effort. We are told to make every effort in our walk. So when it comes to growing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, when it comes to us being all the more of those things, whose job is it? What role does the Spirit play and what's my part in it? I'm going to try and answer that. And I think to do so, we need to go a little bit deeper into the metaphor of fruit. I'm not much of a gardener. I know that some of you spend way more time in your gardens and or allotments than I do. I'm mostly good for digging stuff up and cutting stuff down and very little else. Trying to make stuff grow is a bit beyond me. But let me ask you this, maybe you'll know. If you wanted to grow a fruit tree in your garden or allotment, what would you do? Maybe you can give me the full rundown later. But you'd probably do something like start by planting something, right? And you might plant a seed or you might plant a sapling. Maybe you put some special soil in and around it to give it a good start. Maybe you water it from time to time. Maybe put a stake in the ground nearby to help it grow straight and strong. Maybe you'd need to put some sort of net over the top of it to stop anything coming and feeding on it. I don't know. You might feed it yourself, special nutrients to help it grow. You might pull out weeds that grow up around it so that it's got the best chance of succeeding. all to try and get this fruit tree to grow and maybe one day to get some fruit from your tree. And then I guess, depending on what sort of tree it is, you'd keep on doing those things, maybe for years, but certainly for seasons, before the first fruits begin to appear. And certainly it will be many seasons before you have enough fruit on that tree to go and make yourself a nice batch of cider or whatever it is you're choosing to make. Once that tree has matured, after all of that time tending it, let me ask you, if you've done all those things, did you grow the fruit? Did you grow the fruit? If you've done all of those things, did you also cause the sun to shine and the clouds to produce rain? Did you put the carbon dioxide in the air? I mean, maybe some of it. If you sing to your plants, maybe that would help. Did you design and sort out photosynthesis? No, of course not. You didn't grow the fruit. All you did in that circumstance is created good conditions in which the fruit could grow. And I think that this is how it works too with the fruit of the Spirit. Manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in our lives is a partnership between us and God the Holy Spirit. And I guess if you wanted to extend the metaphor, you could ask yourself, what plants in your life do you want to be tending? Are you tending trees that will bring good fruit, which is the fruit of life, the fruit of the Spirit? Or are you tending the weeds which will spring up and lead to death? Whichever we do, without the Spirit, we cannot do it. And without our cooperation, it will not be done. The way for the fruit of the Spirit to become an ever greater reality in our lives is for us to walk in step with the Spirit. It is a work that we do together with God. We create conditions in our life that enable the Spirit to grow. And then we let God, the Holy Spirit, do the growing. And sometimes that means we need to do some weeding. Paul had that long list of the works of the flesh. Jesus said, if your eye causes you to sin, you should pluck it out. If your smartphone causes you to sin, bin it and get a Nokia 3310. If your job leads you into sinning, start looking for a new one. Make every effort to create conditions in your life in which the Holy Spirit can transform you into the likeness of Jesus. We are called here by Paul to walk in step with the Spirit. That is to make every decision, every step in the light of this command to love. That's the context of this passage, verse 13, to serve one another in love. And I hope that this series that we're going to look at together on the fruit of the Spirit, I hope it's not going to be about a list of things you need to do better. Because we probably all already have a big long list of things that we feel like we could or should be doing better. I hope it's going to be about us living in the freedom of Christ, which enables us to be the sort of people he is forming us to be. And sometimes that might seem like hard work. But it is also beautiful and good and rewarding work. To walk in step with the Spirit and then to see your life and the lives of those around you transformed by it. If you want to be more like Jesus, if you want to display more fruit, if you want to be more loving and joyful and peaceful and patient and kind and good and faithful and gentle and self-controlled, and who doesn't want to be more of those things? If you want to be more, don't just try to be better. That is futile. Instead, do these two things. Stop feeding the weeds. Cut out the things in your life that lead to temptation and sin. And instead, walk in step with the Spirit. Ask what the godly thing is to do in your decisions. Tend your relationship with God. Read his word, pray, listen for his voice. And it might not happen overnight. Fruit takes time to grow. But if you do these things, I think that you will be amazed at the transformation you will see. Let me pray. Father God, we thank you this day particularly for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who enables us to be the sort of people you created us to be, who is at work in us, transforming us in ways that we cannot transform ourselves. And I pray today you would help each and every one of us see in our own lives those weeds that need to be pulled up, the things that we need to root out, so that we can create the conditions in which your fruit can flourish. Help us to know how to take each step in step with you, that you might be glorified and we might be transformed. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.